Rick Emerson. It's the Rick Emerson radio program. Rick, this email says, where the hell is it? Let's see. It's easy to drink half a gallon of vodka. Half a liter of vodka when you're shooting it. Okay. 503-733-2970. You can email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. rick@rickemerson.com. Rick, you will love Russia. It's a wonderful place. Standing in line at Lenin's tomb is a must-do. And so forth. All right. I thought Lenin's tomb was gone. I thought they packed him up and stuck him in a closet somewhere.
No, they don't have the right tools to move it.
We don't. What a country!
They don't have a Six Flags park there. What else are they doing? Come look at our dead bodies. What are Russians known for, really?
One flag. I should be funnier than that. Ladies and gentlemen, at the Ministry of Truth, Tim Riley.
It's time for the Rick Emerson Noon News Hour. Yeah. AM 970 Solid State Radio. And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
So this becomes a big national story about this can-be man killed while watching football with his so-called friends.
Football can be dangerous.
Apparently he died when a fist fight broke out. During the airing of a National Football League playoff game, Christopher Lucas, who's 36, was not breathing, but deputies arrived and paramedics were unable to bring him back. They've arrested 27-year-old Matthew J. Schultzman of Beaverton and charged him with murder. The detective said deputies found beer bottles littering the lawn and a broken window when they arrived at a Canby home. Roughly 10 people were in there watching a game, and apparently, well, everyone was drinking. Some became belligerent, some obnoxious, as they will during these type of things. And somebody tried to entice people into fights, and I guess they tucked one person into it.
It doesn't really sound like they had to work all that hard at it. Would you like to... Bam!
The victim received significant blows. Not to be scheduled for any time now.
And then they fought.
Meanwhile...
I have nothing.
You've got a little loopy.
I've gone a little crazy.
Well, I'm giving him every chance in the world.
Has Rick Emerson gone around the bend? No, there's just too much there. So there, it wasn't even a bowl game, was it?
No.
It a bowl game?
I don't know.
I'm asking the people in this room as though anybody knows. It was just a bunch of drunken rednecks watching a sporting event and punching each other in the groin, right? That's what they do.
And somebody came from Beaverton because they don't have the guts to do it in their hometown and beat up somebody in Canby.
Seriously.
Which is known for fights and
you
violence.
Would think that is it the guy from Beaverton that died?
No, yes.
I was going to say, because people in Canby aren't soft. People in Beaverton...
He is from Clackamas County, the victim. The alleged beater is from Beaverton.
Beater? Mm-hmm. So who is dead?
The Canby fellow.
See, that surprises me, because I would think that a Canby guy would hold his own.
Mm-hmm.
I would think that the Beaverton guy would just buckle like a belt.
Yeah.
Because people from Beaverton they're not a spine having people. I would think that the Canby guy would emerge victorious there. But you know what do I know? Scotty, screw you in big letters. All right, sorry. Didn't mean to bust on your sacred calf. All right, well, whatever. One less drunken idiot redneck. You know what are you gonna do? All right.
What are you going to do? Top of the Bushwatch.
Fantastic. Here's your Bushwatch from Monday on the Rick Emerson radio program.
He's the president, kind of in charge. He's got the whole country saying, that's my Bush. Life is hard, that's the price of fame.
When you're president, everybody knows your name.
Hey, what's that there? It's my Bush. I can't believe he's actually in the White House.
That's on my own.
That's my Bush.
Just so you know, we do have this cart machine in here. Jeremy talking earlier that we have to take this cart machine to the new building.
I did, yes.
Because Jeremy, the engineer, is so terrified that the couple morning show is going to ask to have it back in the studio. Because apparently, and by the way, and I don't say this to be all about the glory of us, but come on. Last week when we were first bringing the cart machine here, apparently the couple morning show was supposed to be pre-taping. They do this, they do a program like a countdown show on the weekend, and they tape it on Thursday or whatever, and then they play it back. They took them an hour longer than normal to get their countdown show taped because they just sat by the radio and listened to us for an hour playing their old carts. That's how gripping and compelling, or how easily amused perhaps they are. But that's how compelling we apparently are with these carts, is that they just sat there in the production room just listening to our show for an hour, as we really didn't do anything that interesting. We just played their old carts. And they were heard to say, we ought to get that car machine back in the studio. And the engineers, that's like the last thing they want because it's just more moving parts that can break. Yeah. So we're taking this with us to the new studio. We were just talking to Jeff McGinley. We're going to be in that new studio the 14th. No, in 14 days, which is the 29th.
Oh, here we go again.
I'll get it right. God. That is all by way of saying this. I have here a cart. I'm going to play this cart randomly during the Bushwatch. It's loaded. That cart will be played at some point during the Bushwatch.
Did you find the Fog Hog?
I have the Fog Hog as well,
good,
yes.
Good. Oh, good. Did somebody steal the Fog Hog over the weekend?
There's a question about what... Can I just tell you this?
Yes,
here's
please.
The other thing that happens. We're playing all of these... I'll just do just a little bit of this. So we are playing a little bit of this Fog Hog, which is the... Oh, is this turned up?
Oh, the pot's on.
There you go, that. And the someone who shall not be named on that station staff was heard to say, hey, those are really good. We ought to bring some of those back.
Yeah.
Man.
All right.
Really?
Yes.
Again, I know who you're talking about.
Well, let's move forward.
Let's move forward. The president was on 60 Minutes last night. Bet nobody watched. But anyway, it was pretty good. The president again admits he made some mistakes in Iraq. According to the 60 Minutes interview, Bush says he takes responsibility, because he doesn't want people to blame our U.S. troops.
We got a bunch of good military.
Okay, before I even play this, that wasn't in danger of happening. We were blaming you all along, George, just so you're aware. I want to say you are right now attempting to solve a problem that didn't exist. Raise your hand if you blame the troops.
No.
Yeah, raise your hand if you blame George Bush.
Yes.
Yes, okay. Problem was already solved, but thanks for playing. Let's go ahead and...
We got a bunch of good military people out there doing what we've asked them to do.
Yeah, no one doubts it.
And the temptation is going to find scapegoats. Well, if the people want a scapegoat, they got one right here in me.
Yes.
It's my decisions.
Yes, you're the decider.
Apparently, he paid no attention to the last election.
There's
one political party in this country that is going to cease to exist.
Yeah, the scapegoat has been found. The problem solved.
All right. The president was asked why he seems to have lost the support of the American people... Of course, everyone supported what he did after 9/11, but what happened after that?
The Iraq War hadn't gone as well as I had hoped at this point in time. And people are,
really?
Are discouraged. They don't approve of where we are. And so I think that's where
we're going to stay there. The American people don't approve of where we are, and so my plan is to do nothing. My plan is to stay there and continue to be in the place that the American people don't want us to be at all.
Other countries want us to come in and give them liberty and democracy, don't they?
Shrewd. Well, yeah, seriously, the people in Iran, here's the real tragedy of this, is the people in Iran are having to wait for democracy.
No, we tried it back in 1953. They elected somebody democratically, and we kind of, threw them out because we didn't like who they elected. It was a Shah in charge.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's the thing.
People do not appreciate what we do for their thriving democracy.
That really is true, and I think that the American government is unappreciated. We go around the world. We work very hard to put in these puppet governments that are supposed to do our bidding, like so many Islamic King Fridays. And then no one ever shows their thanks. They don't call. They don't write. They don't send a fruit basket.
But they're busy at these $7 an hour service jobs with all these great insurance benefits every day. They don't have
busy answering my tech support calls.
The president rejects the contention he wasn't honest with the American people about these weapons of mass destruction. He admits he was wrong.
Everybody was wrong on weapons of mass destruction. And there was an intelligence failure, which we're trying to address. But I was as surprised as anybody didn't have them.
Uh-huh. Especially, never mind.
But he says his spirits are strong, and he's, quote, blessed to be president.
And I really am not a kind of guy that sits there and says, oh, gosh, I'm worried about my legacy. I'm more worried about making the right decisions to protect the United States of America. See, we're in a war. People want to come and attack you and attack our country. I understand criticism, but I've got a pretty thick hide.
Who is he? I will confess that I did not watch the 60 Minutes.
You didn't have to. I bring the world to you.
That's what I'm saying. I don't need to leave. Tim Riley brings it all here. Who was being interviewed? Do we know who interviewed him? Was it Leslie Stahl or somebody? Do we know who?
No, we don't.
I'm just curious because when he says the...
I really am not a kind of guy that sits there and says, oh gosh, I'm worried about my legacy.
Well, that's obvious.
I'm more worried about making the right decisions to protect the United States
right
of
here.
America. See, we're in a war. People want to come and attack you.
You! I want to know who it is. Who? They want to attack who? Are they attacking? Well, they can't attack Ed Bradley. I mean, I guess they could. He's the easiest one to attack now. I'm sorry.
I shouldn't have let that go as far as it did.
Is it Morley Safer? Is it Leslie Stahl?
One of them.
What about Mike Wallace?
I think Anderson Cooper's on there.
Anderson Cooper, they want to attack you, Anderson Cooper. Run! For the love of God, will someone protect Anderson Cooper?
They better not if his mother gets upset.
Carefully, Quater, his mother beat your ass with those spiky shoes of hers. Mm-hmm. His name was Scott. You can't have somebody named Scott on 60 Minutes. I can't have somebody named... That's like having...
Well, that's something for Scotty to aspire to. He's not going to be who he is for the rest of his life. Scotty must know...
That's like having somebody named Teddy on 60 Minutes. That just doesn't work. Scott... Who's that guy?
Bale.
Scott Bale.
Has joined 60 Minutes.
George W. Bush is being interviewed by Bob Loblaw. Bob Loblaw lobs Lobom. So, Scott Baio. What other ridiculous Scots? What other Scots could be interviewing George W. Bush? George C. Scott? No, he's dead. Scott.
There aren't very many.
I've got nothing. Scott Baio is the end of that joke chain.
That's
Scott.
As good as it gets.
Scott. Scott Peterson. No. Scott. Yeah, I guess that joke is done. All right, we're finished.
Well,
Wait, hold on. Somebody knows here. Dan?
What?
Dan?
Sorry to interrupt.
Don't be defensive, Dan. It's just a question. Hello, sir. How are you?
Oh, pretty good. No, I know you don't like the Dan thing, so I was kind of prepared.
Dan?
Oh.
Go ahead.
No, I think it was Scott Pelley. I watched it because it was nice to watch little George squirm. It was kind of cool.
It's nice to see his brow furrow as he tries to put together two-syllable words. And I know that sounds mean.
I guess there weren't any tears during this interview.
Yeah, did he cry?
No, it looked like he was trying, but...
He said he has a thin hide.
Yeah, it wasn't working.
It's like that episode of Arrested Development where she's trying to cry. And by the way... I was going to say that we would be making these same jokes were he a Democrat, by the way. It's not really Democrat or Republican. It's just that he's as dumb as a post. So Scott Tilley? Is his name Tally Tilley?
Yeah, Tilley.
Who is
Tilley.
Is he that guy?
I think that's his name.
Who's that guy that kind of looks like Meatloaf on 60 Minutes? Do you know what I'm talking about, Tim?
There's somebody who looks like Meatloaf on 60 Minutes.
A little bit. Sort of like he's kind of got a square sort of face.
I don't know.
I got nothing. Was it painful to watch, Dan?
No. It's always humorous because you got to realize the mindset whenever you're watching Little George.
It's like watching a dumb thing try to use a complicated thing. Huh, that's ironic. I can't
like
even think of an analogy.
A 5-year-old pick his nose. You know, it's kind of disgusting, but it's also kind of cute. You know.
Okay. Thank you, Dan. I appreciate the call.
Anytime, brother.
All right. There you go. That's Dan. Fantastic. Bush is more worried about his leg than his legacy.
I suppose.
No, that's Scotty. That's Scotty typing that. But leg is all capitalized. Leg is in all caps. Bush is more worried about his leg than his legacy. I don't understand what that means, Scotty.
Well, pretty soon Scotty will have his own microphone where he is, so you won't have to read these things.
That's the other thing. In 14 days, and we're in the Rick Emerson Studio East, Scotty J will have his own microphone. You'll be able to weigh in at any given, at any time.
He controls the switch to Scotty's microphone. Does he himself?
No. Well, he can turn it on and off, but we can just turn him, we can override.
Play the pot top.
There will be a master override button. Don't you worry about that. No, at no point will Scotty actually be able to choose whether his voice goes over the air or not.
Oh,
That's not a power. That's like having the nuclear football.
But that's more power than he's had before.
That's like having first strike capability. He's not going to be allowed to have that. Yes, it's an incremental increase in power is what it is. That's in 14 days. We move to Rick Emerson Studio East. Let's see. Blah, blah, blah. Let's see. This email says, No, I'm looking for, Scott Daly. It wasn't Scott Daly. All right, we're moving on. It's Scott somebody. Here's Tim Riley.
Well, it's Martin Luther King Jr. Day, and we're not going to play those four words he's famous for because we know them and every radio station is playing them, and it's just silly, really. The president says Martin Luther King Jr. Day is not a holiday as such, just as King's widow, Coretta Scott King, wanted.
Mrs. King wanted was for MLK Day to be a day of service.
Yeah.
It is not a day off, but it's a day on.
It's a day... Where's my mail? Oh, it's not a holiday,
And there's no heat on the MAX train.
Seriously, Are you kidding me? I'm going to play that one more time.
Mrs. King wanted was for MLK Day to be a day of service. It is not a day off, but it's a day on.
Get your fat government asses to work and deliver them.
There's nothing in the mail you want, really.
That's not true. I have goods and services I'm waiting on.
Nothing good comes in the mail.
I bought some shoes in Seattle, and I'm still waiting for them to arrive.
Why didn't you take them with you?
Because they were out of stock. They didn't have my size. Do you really care?
I do.
No, that's just a really random thing to say. You bought shoes in Seattle and you didn't take them with you.
No. They didn't have my size, and so I ordered...
How do you know they'll fit?
Because it's... No, you don't really care. You're just posing now.
No, I'm curious.
We went out... when we were in Seattle for the Christmas holiday...
You went shopping for shoes.
We went... No. Well, we went shopping on Christmas Eve just because, you know, we just... You know,
it's the American thing to do.
That's what it is. It's the American thing to do. We have no children. We have disposable income. You know, we decided just to go out and buy useless things. We spent like a good hour and a half at Sharper Image looking at every single product they had, seriously considering buying every one.
Did you sit in the massage chair?
We didn't, but you know what I did is they have that scale that will tell you your body fat ratio. It was like $180. I almost bought it. That's the great
thing.
How does that work? You stand on it in your bare feet, and it's got little electrodes placed in it. It tells you your weight, and it's no pain or anything, but it sends a little current through your body and measures. It's exactly the way they do it at the office. Well, it's just the way they do it at the doctor's office.
Oh.
You stand on a thing. You can't feel it. It's totally painless, but it passes a little electrical current through your body. It measures the resistance, and then it tells you what your body fat ratio is, blah, blah, blah. So, what is that? I should buy the Sharper Image Universal Panasonic, the Panasonic remote? Now, nothing can be better than the TiVo remote, despite your claim that it's, quote, the absolute bomb. Thank you, Scotty. No, so we're, blah, 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 we're shopping on New Year's Eve, or on Christmas Eve. You'd be amazed at the number of things that were open on Christmas Eve. It was pretty stunning, actually. I sort of thought
Were people throwing the fish?
Did they
put the fish away?
They were. No, that was opening. And then there was a guy. I found the greatest homeless guy. Did I tell you about that homeless guy with the sign that said, Father killed by pirates or by ninjas? Homeless guy with a sign. Father killed by ninjas. Need money for kung fu lessons. And I was like, that's it, man. You got to. And I gave him like $5. Anyway, but there was a shoe store open. And there's this company. I realize now that we're entering real like Bravo.
It's a shoeless shoe store.
We're entering real... the Bravo Channel territory here, but there's this company that is the upscale, because New Balance is just like running shoes, right? Isn't that their thing?
Yeah, more or less.
New Balance shoes, those are just like athletic shoes. There is a company, it's like the sister company to New Balance, but they make like business shoes, and I found these great shoes, and they had my size, but in the wrong color, or they had the right color in the wrong size. No one cares about this.
So you want business shoes.
I'm alienating listeners with every passing second. Anyway, I left an order for them to send. I paid for them and left an order that as soon as they were to get in stock, they were to send them to me.
Mm-hmm.
So they are apparently in stock. I should have had them by now. And with every day that the government chooses not to deliver my mail, that's another day I'm separated from my precious shoes that I paid for. That look from you is priceless. I really wish everybody could see Sarah's look right now. I'm just saying...
No, we're all curious.
I'm just saying.
If you ordered business shoes, should they be on your feet?
You would think
so. And
how
can you conduct business? Well, it's a holiday, so you don't need them today.
Because I've paid for them.
There's no business being conducted.
My credit card has been charged, and yet the shoes have not arrived. Why?
Mrs. King wanted was for MLK Day to be a day of service. It is not a day off, but it's a day on.
I am not blaming Martin Luther King directly for my lack of shoes. But... I'm just saying, if it's not a holiday, where's my mail?
Somebody probably stole your shoes.
Why would you say that?
Because look at what happened.
They're a handsome pair of Oxford business
shoes. You know, I've had it up to here with people stealing things from me. The theft of my personal goods has got to stop now. I'm tired of things being stolen from me. I swear to God, if somebody stole my shoes, I will find you and I will gut you like a sea bass. I swear to God.
Will they fit in your mailbox?
No.
Perhaps only one will fit.
No, see, and now you put it in my head, because that's the thing is I don't have like a drop box. And I have a mailbox that the shoes would never fit in, so they would have to be left on my porch in a big, enticing brown paper package tied up with string.
Mm-hmm.
My shoes have been stolen, haven't they?
Yep, they sure have.
Look for somebody pushing a shopping carriage with their belongings on the street.
God, really nice shoes on.
Bitches. Someone stole my shoes. It's all coming together. It's all so clear. Too late do I realize my family is my only real treasure.
See, so really you're just taking out your frustration because you know your shoes were stolen, and you're taking it out on Martin Luther King.
That's the most... No one else has ever used that sentence. That's one of those sentences that no one in history has ever used.
It makes us all think, though, doesn't it?
Seriously.
Okay, don't let it distract you. How much did you pay for them?
That really does bring the message of this day home, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. What?
How much did you pay for them?
Doesn't really matter. I'm not going to see them. Doesn't matter.
They're gone.
Let's just say I could replace the seats of my 4Runner. All right, here's Tim Riley.
Well, an old White House photo taken in April of 1975 has resurfaced. It shows then-President Gerald Ford requesting more U.S. forces to help stabilize Saigon and save us in the Vietnam War. Of course, we know what happened. The photo captures Ford conferring with the two architects of that request, Dick Cheney and Donald Rumsfeld.
Dun, 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 dun.
See, the same people run everything, regardless of who's elected. Really.
It's true. No, they are sort of the Zelig of ill-advised land wars.
Yeah.
Let's see what? Here. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, no. I have something very special that we haven't done in a while that I knew you would be interested in.
Oh, fantastic.
Because it is MLK Day, we have to do something special.
Ladies and gentlemen, for the first time in a long time, your Cheney watch.
Oh, my gosh.
Cheney watch from Monday on the Rick Emerson radio program.
Every time I see you looking my way, baby, baby, can't you hear my heart beat? Baby, baby, can't you hear my heart beat? Baby, baby.
Well, Dick Cheney came out of his bomb shelter to be on, guess what television network yesterday?
CBS.
Close.
ABC.
No.
NBC.
No.
Bravo.
No.
Trio.
No.
Logo.
No.
Oxygen.
The Oxygen.
Close. It was Fox.
Oh, no.
Fox,
really?
Fox News Sunday.
I'm surprised.
Yes, I've never watched this program before, but he was on it. The Bush administration is considering the threat that Iran poses to the world. They're the new bad guy. They have been for a while, but we haven't done anything about it.
Iran is the new blog.
That's the word from Vice President Cheney, who appeared live and in the flesh on Fox News Sunday. He says that problematic issues with Iran are being worked on right now.
They have begun to conduct themselves in ways that have created a great deal of tension throughout the region. If you go and talk with the Gulf states, or if you talk with the Saudis, or if you talk with the Israelis, or the Jordanians, the entire region is worried.
Of course, they want us all over there to clean up this mess.
Of course, they can't wait for us to be there. And I was going to say that Iran is the new black, but that could be easily misconstrued.
Especially today.
Maybe tomorrow. That's why I didn't say it.
It'll be okay tomorrow, but today it might be considered.
That's what I'm saying. There are many ways that could be easily taken out of context. That could be misunderstood.
That could be. The vice president says that President Bush wants to set the record straight on Iran.
The message that the president sent clearly is that we do not want them doing what they can to try to destabilize the situation inside Iraq. We think it's very important that they keep their...
No, what we absolutely don't want to do is do anything that would destabilize Iraq. Iraq is a finely tuned machine.
It is. It just needs to be... If you just push it that far, it'll unravel all the good work we've done there.
No, it's running like a top right now. What you don't want to do is meddle with it, because then things might go poorly.
It is the Paris of the Middle East.
It's true.
Mr. Cheney is refusing to discuss the upcoming trial involving former White House official Louis Scooter Libby. He tells Fox News Sunday he doesn't want to get into this or talk about his feelings on the issue because of his possible involvement in the case. But even so, he has glowing things to say about Libby as a human being.
I'm going to place a greater emphasis upon going after the security problem in Baghdad. That has to come first. Political reconciliation is important. Economic progress is important. But that we've got to get a handle on the security situation in Baghdad. That means more Iraqi forces. That means more U.S. forces.
You take it. I got nothing.
Yes, he refuses to talk about Scooter Libby.
The plan we've got here now has been embraced by Abizaid, by General Casey. We've, in fact, looked very carefully at the situation, and we have a plan now that has, in fact, been endorsed by the generals.
There's no plan.
Fox Fallon, who's the new CENTCOM commander.
There's no plan.
Everyone's in favor of our plans all the time.
Absolutely. There's no plan at all. And there are no Iraqi forces, by the way. There are none. Zero. I mean, they're all...
Yes, there are. They're dedicated to overthrowing all the bad guys.
They're all Death Eaters. Aren't the Iraqi forces always... Isn't it they had that horrible story about the police station and the feces raining from the ceiling and the death squads and the killing and the hey-hey? Oh, I forgot.
The benefits are good.
Wait.
It's phenomenal. It's insane. It's terrific. It's even mediocre.
There we go. That's the sounder that I promised to play
drop it.
Off cart. Yeah, it's a drop is what that is.
Well, that's our Cheney Watch for now. Hope you enjoyed it.
There's your Cheney Watch for Monday. Build a Rick of the radio program.
Every time I see you looking my way, baby, baby, can't you hear?
We'll take this call, and then we got a break here. This is... It doesn't say who this is. Scotty, who is this online? What is, there's no name. Well, whatever. Rick Emerson Show, who is this, please?
This is Jim.
Hi, Jim. How can I help you?
Hey, since you're a full-service radio show, I thought I'd let the folks that are stuck in traffic on I-5 northbound that there is an 18-wheeler that is jackknifed, completely blocking all the lanes, right in front of Hooters.
There's so much to work with here.
Northbound?
Northbound.
I-5 northbound. Isn't this like that Alabama song where there's a jackknife trailer and Mama's up on that train?
I just thought it was appropriate because, you know, the trucker, Hooters, just, you know.
Hooters. No, so there was an 18. Now, is everybody, I mean, is there everybody okay? Does it look like everybody's safe?
Yeah, it looks fine. It's just a parking lot right now.
All right, so I-5 northbound at Hooters. I-5 northbound at Hooters is a parking lot because of a jackknifed semi.
Yeah. And while I was on hold, I'm listening to Cheney Watch, and all I kept thinking was, they should have them on American Sportsmen. Remember they used to go out hunting? And they'd have them pump another shell in somebody.
And then what?
Pump another shell in somebody, shoot somebody.
Yeah, well, I mean, Yes. No, it's true. All right. Thank you, Jim. I appreciate it. Thank you, sir. All right. There you go. So there's an 18-wheeler jackknife to the Hooters, by the way. Mm-hmm. And I, as soon as he said jackknife semi, I immediately started thinking of that Roll On song by Alabama. And there's that the final stanza about blah, 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 jackknife semi, mama's up all night praying, 18-wheeler. We just did that. We closed it.
I know. It's playing on its own.
Dick Cheney. He can't. The power of Cheney. He can't be stopped. All right, we should break.
Yeah, we are so late.
We're so late! But, you know, there's no...
What are you gonna do?
There's no Clyde this hour, though. So... Dick Cheney can't be shut down.
That is so... This doesn't make any sense. Never mind.
Okay, Dick Cheney can't be stopped.
That is weird. It's in the already played section of the board. Nobody knows what I'm talking about.
You have to find how to
but
do.
It just played
that
on its own.
Dick Cheney thing can't be stopped.
It's possessed.
You have to cut off its head. No, just the watch, though, is what I'm saying. Of the Dick Cheney watch here, you have to put a stake through its heart and burn it. It can't be stopped through conventional means. That's just the watch I'm referring to. Hello. So, Clyde Lewis going to be in studio later on today. Jim Roop, Ed McCarthy, top five, more embarrassments from the life of Scotty J, and more from Tim Riley around the corner. Here is Errol Smith. It's the Rick Emerson Radio Show. Hello there, it's the Rick Emerson radio program. It is Monday, MLK Day, and here we are. Rick, let's see. I got nothing. Oh, you know what we haven't gotten to? Oh, it's Scott Pelley, apparently. That's who was on 60 Minutes. Scott Pelley is apparently one of the new guys.
Never heard of him.
Let's see. Yeah, Scott Pelley, he's tall and grayish. He was on 60 Minutes, too. I guess he's been bumped up because Ed Bradley died. It's like when you're at the card table as a kid for Thanksgiving, and then like a grandparent dies, and then suddenly, bam, you're at the main table. The meatloaf-looking guy is Steve Croft. Let's see. What else do we have here? Ba-ba-ba, ba-ba-ba, ba-ba-ba. Oh, hey, at Target, they have the body fat scale for $40. Yeah, well, that makes sense. It's 503-733-2970, 503-733-2970. Here is Tim Riley, the Ministry of Truth.
Well, Illinois Democratic Senator Barack Obama is hinting about his plans for a possible White House run in 2008. He tells CBS's Face the Nation he will give details about his plan in the very near future.
Obviously, there's been a lot of talk. It's something that I've been considering. I've said I've been considering it, and we'll be making an announcement.
Quit being coy. Jesus.
Well, the other thing is, did Hillary announce her candidacy without telling anyone? What's she doing in Iraq?
Is she trying to
sway foreign policy.
Is she in Iraq?
She has been, yeah. She was sitting on the couch with some Iraqi the other day.
You know, at some point, we're going to have an Obama watch, which is funny because we do have an Osama watch. At some point, At some point, we're going to have to create, let's be thinking about this, because at some point, we're going to have to create Obama watches. And we're going to have to create an Obama watch. We're going to have a Hillary watch. And what else? Hillary, Obama. What other watches are we likely to need? There's nobody else that we know is running right now, right? I mean, is there anybody else that we can safely say is going to run?
Well, there are all those no-names from the Midwest who
well,
may get elected.
But they don't matter. It's like having a Kucinich watch.
Foghorn, Leghorn, or whoever it is.
Governor Mike Huckabee. Okay, so be thinking in the back of your brains about Hillary watch and Obama watch.
We hope we're not going to need a Kerry watch. That would be ridiculous.
Oh, no, but I've already got it done. That's the irony of that. That's the irony, is that the Kerry watch, and I've told this story relentlessly now, is that I, after weeks of not being able to figure out what to do, I finally came up with the Kerry watch theme literally the night of the election when it became pointless because he lost. So does anybody know what it was, or should I wait?
No.
Should I unveil it later?
No, nobody seems to be excited about it at the moment.
Okay, well, I won't reveal it now. I'm just saying I have the Kerry watch theme, and it's obvious. So, anyway, but Obama watch, Hillary watch. Why is she in Iraq?
Well, she...
did they know she was coming?
I guess she's there on behalf of her constituents from New York.
Because people in New York just can't get enough of what's going on. I mean, do you suppose the people in Iraq know who she is or have any...
Who does know who Hillary is?
Is she just wandering through the countryside going, hello, I'm Hillary Clinton, I'm here to say...
Well, she's trying to help
in foreign policy. I'm sorry, sir, can you quit bleeding for a moment? Can you leave the... No, can you post... Look, the camera's over there. Just turn... No, sir. Sir. Look at the camera. Sir. And they probably have no... She's sort of the American Borat, you know, just wandering through Iraq.
That would be terrific.
Bothering people, asking pointed questions, no one cares.
Right,
no one
she can go very far. I mean, how far does the government go? It's like the size of this room, 8x10.
Seriously.
You wander outside of it, you get shot or beheaded.
Especially in those weird pink pantsuits she's always wearing. You don't want to take those on the countryside, get all mucked up.
That's true.
All right.
What do I say about this big storm that's going on in places where it shouldn't be?
Do we have a big storm sounder?
Oh, we used to.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's talk about that big storm which is happening. Fantastic. Thank you.
Not only are they having a big ice storm in New England, which you would expect anyway because, well, it's New England, but now it's in parts of Texas where it's usually warm and in some other no-man's land states in that same area. So, spokesman Ken Lejeune in Texas says it's always best to prepare for the worst in these situations.
There's a possibility that we may not get affected, but, you know, we do realize we're going to have some, you know, some sort of effect from the weather.
That's that Texas educational system at work. There is, quote, and I'm quoting now. Now, I want everybody to batten down the hatches because, quote, there is going to be some sort of effect from the weather. So just so you are aware, the weather, which in the past had no effect on anything ever.
Well, no, there's no weather there.
At any time. Whatsoever. No, there is not only now weather, there's an effect from it as well. I want everybody to be on the same page here. Let's be careful.
Dallas-Fort Worth International Airport continues to monitor the weather. But for now, the sun is shining, but about 100 flights were canceled this morning.
That's better than what we've had in the last couple of days over the weekend, where we had 300 and 400, respectively, on Saturday and Sunday.
Glass half full.
So things are looking up. We're getting flights out and passengers out as quickly and as safely as we possibly can.
Out of where?
Texas.
Well, thank God. I mean, really, who wants to... Imagine just if you're some guy and you're going from one civilized place to another and you're held over in Texas for 2 or 3 days. That'll make you drink your strychnine.
So... This big ice storm is in places where they usually don't have, like, 20 or 30 degree temperatures, like Arizona, New Mexico, Texas, Oklahoma.
Do they even recognize snow there? Do they think it's some sort of spirit god dandruff type concoction? I wonder if
it's some devil's thing.
Some sort of whitish oobleck.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Well, tonight that the Hollywood star shined at the Golden Globe Awards. Among the designers...
Tim says completely unconvincingly off a piece of paper in front of him.
It's just another award show to me, really.
No, the best part is how just the subtle changes in your voice, just the subtle shifts in the timbre of your delivery, I can tell when you're reading something that purports to be true, which you have absolutely no faith in the accuracy of.
No, because, like anything else, people don't go out and investigate these things. Somebody just puts a word out, who argues? Put it in front of somebody, they read it.
Just read it.
Just as I'm about to do now.
Mindlessly.
Even that. Actors and actresses are likely to be decked out in plenty of jewels. Davin Information Center Director Sally Morrison says that wearing bling is one way for today's stars to connect with old Hollywood glamour.
There's been a long and very deep relationship between Hollywood and diamonds.
Oh, no.
I think there's something about a diamond that makes a woman feel very, very special just by putting it on.
Who is this?
She's the Davin Information Center Director.
What's her name?
Sally Morrison.
Oh, Sally Morrison. The Diamond Morrison. Information, that's like sort of a...
Yeah, okay. The Diamond Information Center.
Let's listen to that.
Your friend at the Diamond Information Center is Sally Morrison.
A long and very deep relationship between Hollywood and diamonds. I think there's something about a diamond that makes a woman feel very, very special just by putting it on.
Maybe they should just
wear... She sounds like a diamond in the rough, doesn't she?
They should just wear prosthetic limbs.
Just cut out the middleman.
But not only ladies, now male Hollywood stars are wearing jewelry at the award show tonight.
No.
The last couple of years, we've seen more and more men wearing
everything now
on the red carpet, whether it's tie pins or cuffs, cufflinks, bracelets. Even some sort of pins on the diamond pins on the lapel.
I am appalled. These are San Francisco values run amok. Meanwhile, boys continue to die while mimicking Saddam's hanging. Boys' deaths.
I wonder if they fight over who gets to be the guy in the ski mask taunting him in the name of Allah.
Now these boys' deaths are scattered across the U.S. all the way to Yemen and Turkey. It's isolated horror, but they all have one thing in common. They hang themselves after watching televised images of Saddam Hussein's execution. However, it was never televised. It was just on YouTube. So this is one of those urban legends. People think they saw him hang. It was never shown on TV.
Where are the parents? That's what Rick Emerson wants to know. Where are the parents?
So that's that.
Are they building a scaffolding or something? How do you even go about... I mean, really... Hanging yourself is probably not... I mean, if you're...
These are impoverished countries. Where do they find the material?
Where are you finding something
Yemen.
That hasn't been bombed into rubble? It seems if you're going to hang somebody, you got to be able to at least find a platform that's a good 10 feet off the ground, and all of these countries have been reduced to dust. There's nothing.
Well, in Saudi Arabia, one 12-year-old boy was found by his brother hanging from an iron door with a rope around his neck. Let's see here. Trying to find some other things.
You be the one that issues the fatwa!
So apparently, some of these wanted to be heroes and martyrs also.
Well, mission accomplished.
So that's that.
All right, well,
what are you going to do?
Once considered a woman's domain, cosmetic surgery is increasingly attracting men keen on remaining competitive in the workplace, improving their love life, and getting rid of physical hang-ups. With procedures with droopy eyelids, bulging love handles, and oversized breasts. More men are readjusting their bodies to enhance their looks.
Oh,
and
man.
With oversized breasts. Well, apparently these fellows don't like them. It's more acceptable in society today for men to seek plastic surgery. That, according to Dr. Philip Hasek, a plastic surgeon in the state of Washington, there is an incredible push for men to smell good and to have smoother skin and, coincidentally, to pay more attention to how they look. Says this good doctor, underwent surgery on his eyelids 2 years ago himself and has seen a 19% increase in male clients over the past 5 years.
I'm not opposed to...
So this is nearby in Seattle. So it's not just hair that they're putting into people in Seattle.
Well, I was going to say, and everybody knows that, I am not opposed to cosmetic procedures. That's what you have done. But there's certain... Like, eyelid surgery just sounds a little scary. Eyelid surgery sounds like one of those things... Like, look, hair surgery, whatever. You get hit by an earthquake at the same time they're doing the procedure. It goes badly. Whatever. You're no worse off than you were before. It seems like eyelids... Because that's what Kenny Rogers had, right?
And now he looks,
and I mean this in the literature sense, not in the slur sense. And now he looks like a fairy. I mean, literally, an honest to God fairy with wings. You look at Kenny Rogers right now, and you look at those eyelids of his, and it looks like he ought to have little bat wings and like glimmers in his eyes and be flying around going hello, and like transporting you off to some land with rivers made out of gumdrops. So, you don't want to get
that
done.
What about Bob Dole? His eyes are now permanently open.
Is that true?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I thought he just took
his eyes are big and huge, like Wayne Newton's, like those fish eyes.
Big and huge. Oh, ow.
Oh.
I just hit my face into the microphone. I want to have some sort of a country duo that we start called Big and Huge. Big and Fat. But
eyelid surgery typically runs between $3,000 and $4,000. That isn't bad.
What are you having done to your eye? Is that to get rid of bags or something?
Yes.
Is that what that is?
Or whatnot? Yes.
Yeah, all right. I'm not going to screw with that. There are parts of my body that I'm not going to have surgery on that I don't want anybody effing with.
You get rid of that tired look.
But then you look like you're on crack all the time, or you look like you're in a Clockwork Orange, and that's a look that I can. Rick Emerson will pass on that. Not going to have that done.
Let's see. Also, some are getting six-pack abs put in for that youthful look.
What, do they just take, like, egg crates or whatever and just... There you go. Just put them in. I would have my stomach fat taken away. Except that the thing is, I know I would just get that put back. The thing is, I'd get it again. That's like all the flab, the gut. I would totally get the gut surgically removed, but then I would just regrow it. I know me. That's the thing about this surgery.
Just go back.
What? Just go back repeatedly. All right. I should just have a zipper put in the front of my stomach. So, like, every year or so, they could just unzip me and remove the fat and then just zip the stomach back up again. And I'll just leave a shirt on all the time. Here's Tim Riley.
Well, it's time for more stories about those ungodly Russians again.
Fantastic.
As we check out today's penis watch.
Here's your penis watch for Monday on the Rick Emerson Radio Program.
Enormous penis, and my troubles start melting away.
But I'm mouth.
I take a look at my enormous penis, and everything is
going my way. Actually, there's a bonus penis watch in there, too.
Bonus. They barely knew us.
Up we go to Russia, where their so-called doctors have conducted an 11-hour operation to replace a patient's deformed penis with one grown on his forearm. Have we seen this before?
It's the same. No, this is the great thing about this story.
It's the same story.
No, it's not the same story.
They issued the same story in a couple of months.
No.
With their scientific achievements.
For glorious months onward of Soviet progress.
Part of the 5-year plan.
I'm just picturing, we will bury you and put penises on your arms.
Hitting a penis on the counter instead of a shoe. Somebody has to redo that video.
Nikita Khrushchev just banging his arm onto which is affixed a penis. Mm-hmm. Just banging it on the UN counter. Your grandchildren will have penises on their arms. Really, if you're into Soviet history, that joke is really funny. If not, it's just confusing.
I think everybody's seen that at one point or another.
Here's the thing I was going to say about that. No, it's actually... Now, they claim it's a new story, but the thing is, they used the... And it says... I think on page 2 is a photo, and they used the photo from an old story. Oh, it doesn't have page 2. Page 2 was a picture, and we're speaking medically now. This is a news story inside the noon news hour on AM 970, KCMD AM Portland, which is a news talk radio station.
A CBS station.
The public interest convenience.
Part of the Columbia Broadcasting System, the network of Edward R. Murrow.
She's just looking for Mr. Wright, and so am I.
He'd be turning over to his ashtray if he heard this right now.
No, but there's a photo of, like, a Soviet arm. With a proud, glorious Soviet member attached to it, a penis. And the caption is like, photo from previous similar operation. So you're right, it is, they are putting up the same photo over and over again, but they're using, they're using the one photo of the time that this worked once for every version of the story. Because you're right, it's a new story with an old photograph. So maybe the operation wasn't quite as successful this time. So they're,
Oh, maybe they couldn't find the one working camera in Russia to take a picture.
There's a charcoal sketch.
Spare parts from the factory in Bulgaria.
Here's a stone carving of the penis.
Well, getting on with the story.
Right next to a cave painting.
This is a 30-year-old Russian man whose name is changed to protect his privacy. He had a defect from birth. His penis was crooked, 2.5 inches long, and lacking a scrotum.
That's more than a defect. I would say a defect is like... A defect is like when you have a turn indicator that sometimes doesn't work, or like when you have, a nostril that sometimes drips. Having your penis be 2.5 inches long, it's crooked, and you're lacking a scrotum. That falls into the let's just reboot the system category.
Perhaps,
how can it be crooked if it's only 2.5 inches
maybe
long?
Maybe it was born in the Chernobyl Children's Hospital.
Seriously, I mean, look, I'm visualizing now, and I mean...
Everyone visualize, please.
I mean, it's almost ambitious to be crooked and only 2.5 inches long.
Mm-hmm.
That really takes some... I mean, you got to get to work on that crook right away, and there's no... I mean, right from the get-go.
Mm-hmm.
And lacking a scrotum. This is a news story, by the way.
Yeah. A doctor's had the penis removed and attached to the man's arm. Using his body tissue, it grew to 6.5 inches and was sewn back onto his groin. Silicone tubes were, as if they have all this stuff handy, silicone tubes were inserted into the organ to ensure an erection was possible.
You know, these are tubes that...
Speaking scientifically here.
You know, these are tubes that they pulled out of some other patient in the hospital when he was sedated?
Mm-hmm. Our doctors also created a scrotum from the patient's own skin and placed silicone testicles in it. The Moscow surgeon said the man will now be able to have sex in a few months. He added, women will never suspect it is artificial.
Oh, no. No, of course not. No, in no way will his gigantic silicone member attract any attention or suspicion at all.
All right. Is that? Do we have a double or a single?
It's a double. Yeah. Double penis. Here's your second half.
This comes to us from America, where people are a little more civilized.
Where penises are civilized.
A woman's accused of castrating a man during a Christmas Eve party. He said in a statement through her lawyer that she is not guilty and wants a chance to prove her innocence in court. The attorney said his client, Rebecca Arnold Dawson, is innocent of charges of attacking Kevin Russ and castrating him with her hands. He also said she intends to plead not guilty to other charges against which she's accused of assault, causing bodily injury, malicious conduct by a prisoner, and injury to personal property.
Yes.
Apparently, Ms. Dobson allegedly assaulted Mr. Russ during a domestic disturbance involving his girlfriend, Tanya.
Of
Christmas Eve.
Of course, Tanya. And you know, Tanya, too.
Mm-hmm. So that's that.
And that's it?
Yeah, that's about it.
So she, there's no details?
Well, let's see here. I'm looking here. Littleton police said last week his office interviewed several witnesses, but does not have other information that
Littleton
can be released.
Sounds like he's living in Littleton
now. The witnesses
now
were intoxicated and could not remember extensive details of the event.
How drunk would you be not to remember somebody castrating a guy with her bare hands right in front of you? How drunk would you have to be before a woman with her bare hands castrating a man 3 feet in front of you would escape you? What happened last night? Do you remember something happening? I remember that we were doing those jello shots. And then,
we're watching a football game in Canby.
Yeah. And then, well, I know that there was, we had ham. And then somebody brought over Pearl Harbor, and we watched that. Didn't somebody castrate a guy with her bare hands last night?
Do any of you guys remember that? Do you remember Janice castrating somebody with her bare... Me neither, but there's all of these... I mean, all I know is the rug is disgusting, and I don't know. My head is throbbing. I have to go.
Well, all right, there you go. There's your double penis watch for Monday in the Rick Emerson
Take
Radio
Program.
Take
a look at my enormous penis. And my troubles start a-melting away.
Ba-da-da.
I take a look at my enormous penis.
Penis.
And everything is going my way.
Let's get to... Sarah's frantically gesticulating at her screen.
No, I was... Lisa and I spent a lot of time at this bar called The Rainbow, which is right next to the Roxy.
Oh, I know about The Rainbow.
Yeah, and Lucy Lawless was there, and I was just reading about this, and that was her opening night. It was crazy
Did
on Saturday.
Did you kiss her
night.
For me?
No, but there were lots of people.
Yeah. The Rainbow Bar and Grill.
Crazy. Yeah, and everyone was walking around with posters, like signed posters of Xena Warrior Princess.
The Rainbow was legendary. I got lots of stories about
that. So was The Roxy, and it's, the biggest toilet ever built.
They're all toilets. I mean, that place is scummy.
The Rainbow is awesome.
The whole strip is filled with scum. Well, I'll talk about The Rainbow in a second. John, you're on The Rick Emerson Show.
Hey, Rick, happy Monday.
Thank you.
You're talking about the kids all over the world hanging themselves after the Saddam.
Yeah, apparently it's an epidemic.
Yeah. You know what's funny is that the first thing that I thought of with that was the Kurt Cobain phenomenon. Because after Kurt Cobain shot himself, weren't there just like a whole rash, especially like up in Seattle, of people doing the exact same thing?
Maybe. Sarah, you were living in Seattle when Kurt Cobain killed himself, weren't you?
Yeah.
Was there a rash of people killing themselves?
I think, yeah, there were some copycat kids, all the different.
There always are. There's always some, some MySpacers who, yeah.
Well, no, just, and then the other note I wanted to make was when I think of a 2.5-inch crooked penis, I think of a box of macaroni and cheese, the little elbow macaronis. I don't know, just a thought.
You're speaking medically now to help people understand this news story.
Give scale to your story for the...
Oh, for purposes... Okay, for purposes of scale. I understand. All right, thank you, sir.
Thank you for your cooperation.
Thank you. It is only through listeners like you that we are able to fully bring this news to the people. Let's play a random...
Kadoof.
Lee and Susan.
Oh, that's not the funny part. Oh.
And the Wrecking Crew.
Was the funny part.
Couple Country, 98.7 KUPL.
I like the jingles.
Good God.
Sarah, something you'd like to share with the group?
You're not part of their demographic now.
What?
Nothing. It's 503.
If you were part of that demographic, I'm sure you'd enjoy that immensely.
You'd find it compelling.
Mm-hmm.
Fascinating. It's 503, I can't tell whether that was them laughing or whether that was from the cartoon.
That was the cartoon.
Oh. It can be hard to tell. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. We should break. Here's what's coming up. Sarah's going to tell us all about her drunken debauchery in the City of Angels over the weekend.
It'll be fun.
Dennis Pitzenberger's going to stop in and say hey. Clyde Lewis is going to be here to scare your children and eat your bones. Jim Roop will be talking to us about the Golden Globes. Ed McCarthy's going to be here. Top five. Scotty J ruins another part of his life over the weekend. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson radio program. I don't know.